there, folks, and welcome to Christ in Every Word, a podcast of the Concordia Bible Institute, housed on the beautiful campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin. This is your opportunity to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the sacred scriptures with me, Dr. Brian Gurman, Associate Professor of Theology here at the university and the Director of the Concordia Bible Institute. Top 40 text number 24. Mark 6, the feeding of the 5,000. Hard not to like this miracle. It's in all four of the Gospels, which alone is kind of, doesn't happen with just any of the other miracles, really. Resurrection, you might say, and so on, of course. But this is all the healings and all of the, you know, the miracles that are in common between Matthew, Mark, Luke so often are not in John. This one is. And it's, I don't know, I wouldn't say early or late, kind of right in the middle of his ministry, I guess. The last time we did a podcast, John the Baptist was preparing the way. In Mark's gospel, at least, we do have some healings. We do have some parables and so on before this. But we do have some healings and parables after this as well. And so it's kind of, you know, it's in the three-year ministry. But what a doozy. I think, so why did I pick Mark? Well, maybe some of this will come clear as we move along. I wanted my students to see some of the Old Testament connections. I wanted them to see just how rich this is for the Lord's Supper, and you'll get a sense of this as we go along. So Mark 6, this I picked verses 30 to 44 for the pericope, the passage that made it into the top 40. And sometimes, you know, you can do parallel studies. Sometimes I take the synopsis into class, which is like a book that includes all the parallel accounts right next to one another. So you can look, how did Matthew write that? Or how did Luke write that, right? That helps too. So if you have one of those, or just know that there are parallel accounts that are helpful to look at sometimes. So I'll read the text and then we'll jump in. Love this one. Again, hard not to like it. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. All righty. So there we have the text of Mark chapter 6. I suppose the first thing, at least this kind of specific to Mark, the first thing we should probably do is talk about what were the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. Now that alone kind of begs the question, who are these people and what did they just do and teach? And so this seems to be just the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles, and they had just been teaching and casting out demons and healing. Jesus had sent them out and they returned to Jesus. I mean, this is just so rich already in the movement of the first verse. The apostles are sent out to preach, to teach, to heal the sick, and so on. They do these miracles in the Lord's name, but they also then return. So the Lord sends them out in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. they return to Jesus. Those servants of the word return to Jesus after serving in the stead and by the command, check in with me now and then, check in with me regularly, come back to me. If we don't recharge, as it were, what do you have to give? If you haven't been filled up first, how can you distribute anything? If you don't first receive from me, how can you then give to others? Come back to me regularly. And they told him all that they had done. So there's a conversation that happens. They return to Jesus first, and they also tell him all that they had done and taught. They speak to Jesus. This is how being a servant works. You're sent out with the things of Jesus. You come back to Jesus, and there is an ongoing conversation with him, prayer, confession, telling him all that they had done and taught. And I love the, let's say, the irony or the loaded inference here, and that is Jesus here in this miracle is about to do and teach something quite phenomenal, right? So they had come, they returned, they told Jesus all that they had done and taught. Jesus himself, both by word and by deed, is going to do the exact same thing here very soon. He will teach. He will continue to teach by doing and by teaching in this miracle. That's one thing I want my students to get, drilled in their heads no matter what. What is he trying to teach by this miracle? Probably should have started by this, but every time Jesus does a miracle, I want them to think about, I don't really, for the top 40, this is the only miracle per se, like a provision miracle that I don't do any of the healings, and I don't do actually any of the parables. I do this miracle, though, because it pays enough dividends to know, hey, what is he trying to teach through this miracle? Because it's one thing to give people a free lunch, right? But they're going to get hungry again. What is he trying to teach through this? And he said to them, so Jesus speaks to them. That's the other thing, too. There's this conversation, there's this back and forth, prayer and response. Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. So first thing, there's movement here. Come away by yourselves to a desolate place. By the way, I love the word that Mark uses for desolate place. What is it? The word for wilderness. Come away by yourselves to a wilderness place. Why in the wilderness? Why not a resort? Come away by yourselves to a desolate place. I'm kind of hoping to go home for the weekend, hang out with my family. There's rest that you have prepared for me even in the wilderness? Sure doesn't seem nice. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest even in the midst of the wildernesses of this life. Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. In me, if you are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest even when you're in the dry, I don't see any signs of life, I am spent, not around anything that I want to be around right now, wilderness place, and I will give you rest. For many were coming and going. I love all the movement in this. The disciples come back to Jesus. Jesus says, come away by yourselves. Many people coming and going, which is great. This is just people are coming and going to Jesus, to his disciples constantly. Many were coming and going. They had no leisure even to eat. So there is this, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray earnestly that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into the harvest. Many were coming and going. This is a constant. I have some pastor friends. Boy, they can easily be burned out or depleted if they don't have this rest in our Lord also themselves. Many were coming and going. They had no leisure even to eat. There's this working before eating, but also eating is needed for the work. And so come back and check in with me. I have something for you too in this. And they went away in the boat. I love the mentioning of the boat, by the way. I'll tell you more about that in a second. And they went away, again, all this movement. I love all this movement talk. They went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Again, this emphasis on the wilderness. By themselves. Do you feel lonely? Go away to a desolate place by themselves. Why mention this boat? Listen to what happens. Now many saw them going and recognized them. Again, this movement in the boat is witnessed. Okay, keep that in mind. And they came to know them, they recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. Do you see the irony here? I love this, right? Let's go by ourselves. Jesus picks a way that is what? Visible to the people. Hey, you guys need to come away by yourselves. Let's go to a place by ourselves. The method of transportation is what? The method allows for the great visibility of everybody to see them and recognize them. Hey, if we're going away to our desolate place by ourselves, why can't we use something that will ensure that nobody sees us? We gotta just slip away here. Getting tired, we need to be by ourselves. They go in a method that allows for visibility. One, the boat. I love the mention of the boat. That's awesome. And then two, what? Many saw them going. They ran there on foot and got there ahead of them. It's faster to run on foot and get there as opposed to the boat. I thought the boat would be faster. What I love about the Sea of Galilee, right? They go from, at least where tradition puts this feeding, they go from a place that's kind of, I wish I had a map to show you, but they go from kind of like one, think about like southwest corner to northwest corner, as it were. They're going in a boat, a way that's visible to these people. And the people run there on foot. By the way, run on foot. How else do you run? Notice the emphasis. Run on foot. And got there ahead of them. Jesus goes in a way that is visible to people and allows for people to beat them to the spot to be where the servants of Jesus are, which is exactly what he does with the boat of his church when he places all of these boats, as it were, all of these safe vessels of salvation, and allows for the witness of what's going on there when these servants in the stead and by the command have these good gifts to offer. They get there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. I love this, like, perfect. You know, it's like, oh, plan B now. We try to get away from ourselves, but when he went ashore, as Jesus leaves the boat, he sees, just as he was already seen. I love that. People see him. They run to get to wherever Jesus is, to wherever his disciples are. That's the priority. Luther once talked about, even if I have to run 1,000 miles to get to the sacrament, right? That's the priority, wherever they are. And Jesus makes himself and his servants available. Here they are, always visible, and you can be with them. This is the beauty of it all. Jesus allows himself, he's seen, and then he also sees in return. He sees you. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, which is a rich word here, and maybe you've heard this, or some people like to point this out. Splongidzomai, it's just a fancy Greek word. Everybody loves it, and for good reasons, and that is, it means your guts are bouncing around inside, like your things are just moving. And it's the same kind of word that's used of God himself. For example, parable of the prodigal son, the father has compassion. So if you think of the father as like, oh, that's God the Father, then there is this splung divine compassion, the kind of compassion that God has when he sees you. The ones seeking the presence of Jesus receive this compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, why does he say this? I love this line Mark includes. This is one of the reasons I did Mark. Why they say sheep without a shepherd, right? Oh my, is there a good shepherd in town? They were like sheep without a shepherd. What does that imply about Jesus? Good shepherd, oh my. The Lord is my shepherd, oh my. What does this imply about the crowd? Confused, helpless, hungry, restless, without this shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Why is teaching first? Hey, why don't you take care of some of the problems that we have? Because we're like sheep without a shepherd. We're wandering around. We're hungry. Why can't we just eat first? And he began to teach them many things. Think about that question. We'll start with that just after the break.
We'll be back in just a moment to the Concordia Bible Institute podcast. In the meantime, I'd like to have you consider this question. What is most important in higher education? How do you prioritize all the knowledge to be gained at an institution of higher learning? Concordia University, Wisconsin, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Mequon, Wisconsin, just north of Milwaukee, is an institution that is committed to excellence in learning, but at the same time realizes that excellence in itself is insufficient without development in vocation. We believe that God works through our vocations, our callings, in order to serve the needs of those around us. The mission statement of Concordia University puts it this way: Concordia University, Wisconsin is a Lutheran higher education community committed to helping students develop in mind, body, and spirit for service to Christ in the church and the world. You can learn more about the over 70 programs offered at Concordia by visiting the website, www.cuw.edu. And if you're benefiting from our Christ in Every Word podcast, I encourage you to support this ministry by mentioning it to others and by offering your monetary support. Please consider supporting the Concordia Bible Institute by going to our website, www.concordiabible.org, and clicking on the contribute page. And now, back to the podcast.
Alrighty there, folks. We are back with our study of Mark chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000. What a great... This probably is one of my favorites. I don't know. I say that about a lot of them. I really do like how rich this is. We left off with this business of teaching first. Why is he teaching first? You see, I guess one thing we can do is notice that there is an emphasis on teaching in this. This is how it all started, right? The disciples returned to Jesus, tell him everything that they had just done and taught. There's this teaching thing. And Jesus will also hear teach and do as well. He starts with the teaching. This is totally Christian worship also, and that is first the teaching, then the eating. We hear from the words of Jesus. We hear them proclaimed, exposited, taught to us, preached to us. And then there's the meal. He began to teach them many things. I love that too. There are many things that go forth in this teaching, the full counsel of God. And when it grew late, so we have the church here, the lectionary, we continue to hear different readings and have all sorts of, we have a rhythm to the church here as well, festivals, holidays, and so on. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, I love this time of the day notice, by the way. Not energy level, right? It's not, and when Jesus got tired, his disciples said to him, hey, you should take it easy for a few minutes. When it grew late, right, the time reference focuses on the time of the day, not the energy level or even the hungry level. When Jesus knew that they were hungry, his disciples came and said, hey, you better give them something to eat. When it grew late, like, it makes you wonder, would he have kept teaching? His disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place. The hour is late. Notice the emphasis on the time. We are in the last hour. We are in the last days. When it grew late, I mean, this is, night is coming when no man can work. When it grew late, his disciples came to him. Again, this, when we are in this last hour, his disciples came to him. Again, all this movement, come back to Jesus, keep returning to him, because night is coming when no man can work, and said, this is a desolate place. Notice the emphasis on this is a wilderness. That word wilderness is used again and again and again. This is a confession of the location. We are in the wilderness. This is a wilderness. First, the focus is on the location. Then, the hour is now late. Then the time. Let's just be honest about this. Watch the 6 o'clock news. We are in the wilderness. And from the same 6 o'clock news, this is late. The hour is now late. Send them away. So what's the plan here? Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. What's the plan? The disciples send. So you send them away to buy something to eat, what's the response to Jesus? You, instead of Jesus. So the disciples say, Jesus, send them, and so they buy for themselves. Jesus' response, you give, which means free, them something to eat. They have two, I guess one out of three. Send them away. So the disciples think, whatever it is that the hunger needs to be satisfied away from Jesus. Go away from, into the surrounding country, the fields, the places of creation, the villages, right? And buy something, food for purchase. It's going to cost you something. You're going to have to earn money for it. And you're going to have to do some good things for it in order to satisfy this hunger, in order to have this rest. Jesus, you, which implies that he's going to give something to them to give to them. Give, which means this is free. They don't have to purchase it. Them, something to eat. I love it. Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? They're getting closer. The words give and them to eat are getting closer. They are going to be the ones giving it to them to eat. But the buying thing is still a problem. That's a lot of money, by the way. 200 denarii. That's like a denarius is a day's wages. So 200 would be what? Over half a year? Like half a year's wages. That's a lot. And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. I love this line because of this. There's more speaking, first of all, right? But he said, how many loaves do you have? Why do you think he asked this? Doesn't he know this answer? How many loaves do you have? Of course he knows, right? But what effect does it have on the disciples to ask this question? How many loaves do you have? Go and see. What is he trying to teach by asking this question? The disciple, what does that presuppose? How many loaves do you have? What's in the question? It assumes what? First of all, you already have some bread right in front of you. The disciples already have bread with them. Go and see. Go to the bread that you already have with you. And see the bread that you already have with you. Go to that bread and keep your eyes fixed on that bread. Go to that bread. Look at that bread. When they had found out, so they did as instructed, they said 5 and 2 fish, which is an interesting... 5 and 2, I guess, makes 7. I mean, there's a lot of 5,000, 5 for 5,000, so you have the 5 connection. 5 plus 2 is 7. There's kind of an over. The fish thing is interesting. Fish elsewhere used for what? Believers, you know, fishers of men. I mean, it's kind of explicit, right? Fishers of men and miraculous catch of fish, beginning and end of Jesus' ministry. There is something, there's a bread and believer combination here. The bread that goes forth is for the believer. It's not just for show, parading around and all this. The bread, 5 and 2 fish, they go together. This bread is for them. Then he commanded, and it's a perfect number, 5 plus 2, 7, this kind of, okay. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. I love this line too, because here's Jesus. In some sense, he's in charge. He's running the show. Who commands them? I guess he could say, have them all sit down, right? But Jesus himself commanded them all, every single person, to sit down. He makes me sit down in green grass. There's one sense, I'm already tipping my hat, why do we mention the green grass? Who cares what color the grass is? We're hungry. If it's brown grass or red grass or blue grass, that's fine. We're hungry. Who cares what color the grass is? But you mentioned the green grass, and that's what? He makes me lie down in green pastures. Mark's once sheep without a shepherd and the green grass. He commands them all. So Jesus is very much the host of this meal. He is running the show. It is his meal. It is his miracle. It is his commandment to every single person that they lie down in green pastures. So they sat down in groups. by hundreds and by fifties. At the same time, then he's going to give these to his loaves and fish to the servants. It's his meal. He's in charge. So they sat down in groups. I love this, by hundreds and by fifties. I mean, the word there is symposia, and it's repeated twice in Mark. So he says, the lie down thing too. I mean, so they sat down. Literally, this is kind of a reclining or a lie down kind of word, which is the exact same word that's used when at the Lord's Supper, reclining at table. He made them all recline at table in the green pastures of his supper. And all of them were symposia by symposia on the green grass. Some of them were, they all reclined. I mean, they sat down. This all reclining language, group by group, symposia by symposia on the green grass. And then they reclined. Verse 39, he commanded them all to sit down in groups, this kind of recline, let down. And then also there is this, they sat down, another reclining word, group by group, 100 by 50. Some groups are bigger than others. This is totally the church, by the way, right? Some are bigger, some are smaller, but they're still in groups. I guess you could just feed them all kind of, I don't know, run-through style where everybody's individual. No, they're still grouped in order to have this meal. Why doesn't he just give this individually to every single person? This is a very communal affair. When you have this supper, this meal, you are participating with a much larger group. Some are, maybe the local congregations are 50, maybe they're 100, but there is this 5,000 as well. And so you are never alone when it comes to this meal. Some are bigger and smaller, but there's also the 5,000 that are united in this. Taking the loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. This is language where, yeah, you know it. And that is take, bless, break, and gave. Those four all found only one other place. Where is that? The Lord's Supper. He initiates this feeding process. He takes the five loaves, the very sustenance that the disciples had with them. He looked up to heaven. This is, by the way, heavenly food. And said a blessing. His word makes this the heavenly meal that it is. Blessed bread. And he broke it. Why didn't the disciples do this? His body broken for us, broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. The disciples don't own this bread. It's not their meal. It's not their supper, but he does give it to them to distribute to everybody else. Still happens today. In fact, I love, love, love the tense that's used for this word gave. So in the Greek, you have this. There's an ongoing tense. So when we think of tense, we think past, present, future. In Greek, there's this ongoing tense. You might even translate this. He just kept giving. He gave it to some of the paintings. I love this. Peter has his eyes fixed on Jesus, and he just kept giving. He just kept giving. He just kept giving to set before the people. And that's exactly what he does today in the Lord's Supper. He just keeps giving. He just keeps giving. And he divided the two fish among them all. Notice how all the emphasis is on the bread, right? There is this, the fish are still involved, but all the emphasis is on the bread. Why? Because in this miracle is not just a free lunch. It's showing us something about what happens even right now, this meal that is going forth to the masses. They all ate and were satisfied. They were filled up. It is exactly what they needed. They took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces, 12, right? One for each disciple. There's leftovers. This feast continues to go forth. Broken pieces, an emphasis on the fact that this is a broken body that continues to go forth. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. The beauty of this miracle is that this is not just a free lunch. What does this miracle teach? That in this miracle is a picture of the meal that continues to go forth to the masses throughout the world, through those whom our Lord has placed in his stead and by his command. They all ate and they were satisfied. That continues to happen. On the one hand, why so many parallels to the Lord's Supper? Well, on the one hand, it's a foreshadowing. There's a much bigger meal coming. But the car runs in reverse too, and that is this miracle continues to show the life of the church and the meal that our Good Shepherd is giving us even right now through his servants who continue to give out these broken pieces of body and blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. What better satisfaction does this world have to offer? What a great miracle. Feeding of the 5,000, again, hard not to like. Fascinating stuff. Stay tuned. We're going to keep moving through these top 40 texts. That's all the time we have for this one. But do tell your friends and families that they too can join in with us. The mission of the Concordia Bible Institute is to provide Christ-centered Bible instruction from distinguished experts who teach Christ in every word of the Old and New Testaments to strengthen faith and spread belief in the one true God. Again, if you benefit from this podcast series, I encourage you to consider supporting the Bible Institute by going to our website, www.concordiabible.org, and clicking on our contribute page. Until next time, my friends, I'm Dr. Brian Gurman, wishing you all God's blessings in Christ Jesus our Lord.